this morning, put on my rock and roll shoes. Hey, yeah. Thought I'd drop them down at the local tavern, put away a few brews. Had one, well, maybe two. Then I sort of got myself carried away. Sweet young thing was walking through the door, caught me with her eyes so blue. I figured this is a good reason to be wearing my rock and roll shoes. Got a drink, sent it over to her, sent it right back with a note. Waiting for my man to get here, plays in the Beverly Hills soon. If you don't want to get yourself in trouble, take a little bit of my advice. Stay over there, stay over here. Get yourself home and take a rock and roll suit off for the night. Give me one more time. Started to think maybe this woman is right. Got another drink, I took it over to her. Thought I would apologize. She said, "Look out, my man, he got a tear in his hand. Gonna hit you over the head. Should've taken my advice and got on home. Should've gone home and took your rock and roll shoes off for the night. Ow. Give me one more time." We've got on right now. Rock and roll,
rock, rock, rock and roll shoes. 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 This podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Are you ready? All right, boy. Let's do another one.
Hey, you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. This is episode number 393 for September 8th, 2017. With me on the line is Johnny Walko and Pete Peters. What's up, gentlemen?
How much?
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. I'm glad you emailed me because you guys have an interesting thing going on, and we'll start off with that. So, your Project 52, why don't you give us a little quick explanation of what it is, and we'll get into why you started it.
Sure. Project 52 is also known as Project 52 Songs, because when you put songs at the end of it, it makes it...
It makes sense.
I started writing down all the songs that I've written, and I've never recorded them, and I didn't want to lose them from, and I've lost a decent amount of songs already. So I wanted to put myself to a challenge of recording and releasing a song a week. And this is kind of spinning in the back of my head for a little while. It's essentially we record, finish any writing that the song needs, put drums on it, bass, keys possibly, and we hit the studio, get it out to other instrumentalists, and then Pete does the mixing, and then we send it through a mastering service, and we hit Spotify. the day or, you know, if we submit it by Wednesday, then it hits on Friday and Spotify, iTunes and whatnot. So that's where we're at with it.
Now, so the songs are pre-written. You're just performing and recording them.
Yes, most of them. Some of them I'm writing, you know, I just, you know, wrote one over the last couple of days, that I'm hoping to record in, not this upcoming weekend, but our next upcoming Friday, but the following.
And that brings up another question. How are you getting all this studio time?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think God's blessed me, I guess, in the sense that I just ran into a state-of-the-art studio when I was working with in an African-American community in Homewood. They were allowing me to use their studio for some time, especially for volunteering hours. So I'd volunteer there.
Did you say State of Heart?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I am familiar with a studio called that.
It's called the Lighthouse Project.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I sung a song one time for the guy who runs the studio, and he's like, that was pretty good. He's like, well, you know, how can I help? And I was like, well, University of Pittsburgh initially was signed on to this project and was like, yeah, we'll give you as much studio time as you want. And they kind of were, but every time I'd be in the studio, it'd be with like a grad student that didn't really want to be there. So, it's hard to record under those, you know, under that kind of.
So the university was behind it, just not the students that had to make it happen.
Well, they would go, but they kind of be irritated. They have to show up and, you know, try to make it quick. And, it wasn't like an environment that I felt super comfortable recording in. So, I didn't have a key to the recording studio and I didn't at the Lighthouse either. But it was a really good recording studio, had some great mics. And it got Pete and I over for some time. And then, I'm taking a class here at the University of Pittsburgh, where I'm able to swipe in the engineering department. And there's, I don't know, how big is this room, Pete?
Probably 12 by 20.
12 by 20. I got a couple mics in here, about like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 mics. Not great mics, but they definitely do a pretty good job. And yeah, so this is our what we've been using as of late. So,
is this the same studio you were in the other night?
Yes, sir.
So now, you've been recording in a couple different places, but are you getting the same basic sound out of the different rooms?
Whoever will take us. you know, Pete probably could answer that question, being that he's the sound guy.
Yeah, it's. The mixes haven't really been too different. We're just releasing a song tomorrow, and that'll be the first one that we've done inside the different studio. But it's still pretty much the same. I'm just like mixing on Logic at my house, so just like standard, like come with Logic plugins and things like that. So neither studio really has like plugins that I'm using for any of the mixing, because I'm doing it at home anyway. So, yeah, the only difference is just the mics and the quality of like the vocal and guitar tracks. But for the most part, they still sound the same.
Now, how did you two hook up?
Well, I was just watching videos on Facebook, and the video of Johnny on top of Mount Washington singing to this little girl had like 100,000+ views or something on there. And I was like, well, this guy's
because
obviously
of the little girl, not me. Let me assure you.
But I was like, you know, this guy's getting a lot of attention. I like the way he sounds. I was like, I think I'll reach out to him and see if he's been interested in playing with the drummer. And, you know, he hadn't been in a band before. He's jammed with a couple of bands, just like impromptu and kind of like situations. But, yeah, he got back to me pretty quick, and he said he was interested in trying it out. And that was like a year ago. And then he kind of disappeared when he had to you know, fulfill some like duties with the National Guard and then school. And then, not too long, he, contacted me again. And I think I've been with Project 52 for, I think, 6 weeks, 7 weeks now.
Now we're on, this is going to be,
this will be week 10. So
you were on after the first week, I thought.
Well, I didn't have anything to do with the second song.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Right.
So Pete's essentially my first drummer, we just kind of connected. I remember I like went home and told my girlfriend, I'm like, that was freaking awesome. I never felt anything like that before. So I think that, you know, when, you know, determination and commitment outweigh. So, you know, that's the number one thing for me. And I don't think there's many people that I've ever met that are more like determined than Pete is when he says he's going to do something. So that's what attracted me to him. And then he started, helping with Project 52, like just jumped on it. And, so we've pretty much seen each other every day or every other day, at least.
Yeah. Most days of the week, I'd say.
Well, I mean, how long does it take from start to finish when you start recording a song? I mean, because when you see albums, you know, bands take years to put out an album, even an EP, and you guys are putting out a song every week.
Well, we've had quite a few like complications like coming into studios because I'm not an engineer by any means. It's like I bought some recording equipment back in 2007 and I just started doing like home recording stuff. And then I like step into a studio and I'm like, wow. I was like, what is a patch bay? how are all these things like running? So it's like, there's always like, it's like a community studio at Lighthouse and here at Pitt. So, Pitt's set up, like everything's under lock and key, so nobody can change anything. But, we're just starting to work out the kinks here but at Lighthouse, there's different engineers that are in there every day.
We lost so many recordings. There were days where we just would laugh and just be like, we did nothing today. We
spent all day. It was a complete waste of 6-7 hours of nothing. But, I think it takes us, 2 or 3 days to track, all the instruments and vocals. And then, because the turnaround has to be so quick, I mix in maybe 5-6 hours if everything's going okay. But, mixing one song's not so bad when you don't have to like match up like what the tone and the sound is supposed to be from like song to song to song. So it's a little easier to just mix one song at a time, but I'd say like 3 or 4 days, sometimes longer if we have like complications.
We've definitely knocked out songs in one day, though. I don't remember what song it's been. Yeah, if things are smooth, then we can knock that out in one day. And we have a bassist that is responsive. Pete will send him the recording, and he'll send it back. And how long does it take him, Daniel?
Sometimes like 20 minutes. Sometimes it's been like 2 hours.
He's
like
20 years old.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Is he from the local area as well?
Yeah, he actually lives near Homewood, and we met Daniel through like some guys that I was jamming with that work at the Lighthouse project, and they asked me to fill in on drums because they were in between drummers, and I jammed with them, and I was like, wow, it's like this kid's a really good bassist. And we just reached out to him. It was like, hey, are you interested in like releasing a song with us, for the next 48 weeks? And he's like, absolutely, this is awesome. And then, we just played a show with them last Sunday. Yeah. That was our first time actually really like playing with them a group. Yeah. So
I met him that day. He's been like recording the songs. I didn't even get to meet him.
But,
yeah, he was pumped because his mom liked the music, and usually his mom doesn't like the music.
Well, that brings up a question that I usually ask, and both of you, who would you say has supported you the most as a musician? And take turns.
most as a musician? I would actually have to say my mom did. My mom, my girlfriend, for sure. My mom bought me a Seagull guitar whenever I first touched a guitar. I never held a guitar, and then one day I held it, and I was so stoked. I wrote a song like the first time, or whatever you want to call the thing, but I wrote something the first time I like touched it just by, you know, and I just was so obsessed with it. She bought me a guitar and has always kind of fostered my interest. And then my girlfriend, just cause I, you know, this project and I'm the type, you know, it takes so much time away from her that that's probably my only regret with Project 52.
Can she play an instrument?
No.
Can she sing backing vocals?
She sings, but it's kind of like the kidding around, you know, fun, playful singing, and it's really sweet, but she'll only do it for me.
Well, there's got to be a way to incorporate it. Teach her how to run the mixer. I know how to run a mixer.
she is so brutally honest about my music that I do use her. She'll be my first set of ears when we're done recording. I send it straight to her and say, hey, what do you think? And she'll just tell me straight up. And, cause she has in the past about, you know, she'd be like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. So I know when a song's decent because she'll like it.
I think, having her on the mixer might be a pretty good idea. Actually, at the show on Sunday, and she's just a very, very smart girl. And it, like, I have a digital mixer that's on my iPad, and she's like, so you're controlling everything from here? And she starts like asking all these questions and very like detailed questions. And like, she could like receive it like really well. I was like, you give this thing to her for a week, I bet she'll probably know how to work this thing better than I do.
She knows how to work it better than I do. And I've been working with her for a couple months. She's a chemical engineer. I think that's, you know, it's the engineer brain turning.
Yeah, I have a website client that's like that. He was complaining about something I was doing, and then he started explaining to me what he wanted, and I was like, yeah, most people can't tell me exactly how wide in pixels they wanted it. You know, he had never done a website, but he knew exactly what he wanted, and you know, he was like, well, it looks like it's this wide and this percentage, and this is what I want. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, having people that, you know, you're working for that can tell you what they're looking for really helps out, you know. And I think that's probably the easiest thing with like Project 52 is, you know, Johnny's so passionate about all these songs, and you know, he compliments me on like my hard work, but the guy like never stops. Like, he's constantly doing research, he's constantly writing, he's constantly practicing. You know, he takes vocal lessons, he's just joined another like glee club again this year, and he's taking classes for music and like engineering and stuff. It's like, you know, it's really helpful, you know, having like somebody that's that dedicated and knowledgeable about everything that you're doing. So it's so far so good.
How do you fit all this in? And that's coming from someone who people ask me that all the time. How do you do this? And now I'm amazed by what you're telling me. So how do you do it?
Early mornings. We'll wake up super early. Like, you know, I pick them up by 6:40 is most of our recording has been done at picking them up at 6:40, because otherwise I hit morning traffic and that's an hour commute to his house. So I pick him up at 6:40, and we were at the lighthouse cause that's when they'd let us come in from 7 to like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Sometimes they let us stay till 11 or so. Maybe a bit after because just depending on who was coming in, but typically when they came in, we'd have to leave. So that was when, you know, we just had morning brains and just, you know, just attacked it, just got things done.
Yeah. It helps, like, you know, Johnny's a student, and you know, he's making money from playing and you know, National Guard, and I'm a disabled veteran, yeah. So I'm retired, so we don't have day jobs that we have to tend to, so
Yeah,
that really helps. But
absolutely, I mean. this is our life. And big shout out to Pitt. I just got a music scholarship that like completely changed Project 52. I wrote an essay for it last semester, and if without that, I probably would have had to figure out another means. But yeah, so that was a huge difference maker for Project 52 for both semesters. So I'm really stoked about that. And well, yeah, well,
first of all, congratulations on the scholarship. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And that brings up both of you have a military background. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? That's something we don't usually talk about on the show.
Go ahead, Pete. He's the Marine. He's the real military guy.
Yeah, I joined the Marine Corps in 2000. What was that? 2003. And I was in for 8 years. Got out in 2011. I didn't have anything else going on in my life. I didn't really like school. I had no interest in going to college. I think my teachers just kind of passed me to get me out of school. Because I was just like in this weird state of rebellion. When I was 18 years old.
Punk rock music.
Playing like hardcore and stuff like that. So I had this recruiter kept calling me, and I have family that had like been in the military, but I never talked to anybody about it, and they never talked to me about it. So I didn't know anything. And this recruiter from the Marines kept calling me, and I kept pushing it back on like trying to meet him. And I just got annoyed. Like, he's just relentless with like calling, like multiple phone calls a day, like waking me up in the morning, make sure that I'm not like just being lazy all day and just trying to talk me into going in and talking to him. And I had no idea what the Marine Corps was or anything like that. And I finally like go in and I talk, and he's like, "So what would you be interested in doing in the Marine Corps?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? You know, there's like these different MOSs, and you know, here's this book, and like here are these like little blocks." He's like, "Just put them in like from top to bottom, like your most passion and interest into your least interest." And you know, I was like, "A combat photographer? Is like, seriously? Is like the Marine Corps has like photographers?" I was like, "I thought it was just infantry," and I ended up going infantry anyway. So yeah, I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps, saw the world, and met some great people, and unfortunately lost a lot of great people too, but definitely an experience I wouldn't trade for the world. It was amazing.
I have an uncle who just retired from the Army, and his civilian job now, he's working as a liaison to the Marines.
Yeah, I always thought maybe I'd have a job that would somehow connect me back into the military. And I actually had a really good job offer when you go like through this separation and transitioning program. The Marine Corps like puts you through these classes, teaches you how to be a civilian again and transfer all of your military knowledge and training into something that civilians could understand. Not everybody knows what like a fire team or a squad or a platoon or a battalion or anything that like that even means. So, I had this on the spot interview with these people that run like a Bats and Hyde system, which is like a biometric automated tool set system. So it like does like iris scan, facial recognition, fingerprints, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They offered me a great job. And, fiance at the time had we were pregnant and we were gonna have a kid, and she's like, "Absolutely not. You're not deploying back over there." I was like, "It'd be such great money." I was like, "Even if it's just for a couple of years, it'd be like the best opportunity we have right now. I have like no schooling, and we need to try to like match what I was getting paid, so she'd be able to like stay home with the kid for a while." And luckily I got into the oil field and I was able to make some pretty decent money, but part of me definitely wishes I just wouldn't have listened to her and went and worked for that company anyway. So,
well, it's my uncle is doing, he's some kind of lead with a robotics program. I don't know exactly. He was explaining it when I left the party this weekend.
I wonder if it's like for like bomb disarming robots. That's pretty sweet.
Well, he was a combat engineer, so that is a possibility. How about you, Johnny? I know you have a little bit of story behind yours after talking to Jonna.
Yeah, I guess it starts with wanting. I wanted to play professional baseball, and that was a goal of mine and my dad's when I was in high school. And I ended up tore my labrum my junior year. Kind of was lost. I didn't have an identity. I really picked up the guitar then and just started writing, into, you know, as therapy, I guess. So I decided against going to college and, joined the Navy as a SEAL candidate. When I was in training, I found out that I had a heart condition, and was medically released. And from there, I started fighting MMA, actually, and that's what got me into college. I never really enjoyed school before college, and I had a mentor tell me that it would make me a better SEAL candidate. So I was really set on going back, and so I started going to college, started fighting mixed martial arts, the Navy just kept saying no, 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 and then one day I decided to join the Army National Guard. And super positive about that decision. I really think it was a great choice, a great decision. I would not be here if it wasn't for the Army National. I wouldn't be in college. I wouldn't have had these opportunities. I wouldn't have met my girlfriend. I wouldn't, honestly, it made me more, I feel like more disciplined. So I have one more year left on my contract. I'm really happy I joined, to be honest.
Well, thank you both for your service. That's awesome. I have a lot of military people in my family. My grandfather stormed Normandy. My uncle was in the Korean War. My other two uncles, were in, well, one of them went to the first Iraqi War. The one who just recently retired. He was at the Pentagon for the cleanup after 9/11. I have another uncle who I can't remember what branch he was in, but he was in. So, you know, it's not something that I myself ever did or wanted to do, but it's definitely something that I appreciate. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I'll have a few more questions for you guys, if that's okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey, we're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Project 52 songs. I paused it that time. with me is Pete Peters and Johnny Walco. They are currently in a studio at Pitt, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And earlier we talked about how they got together, what the some of the complications are of recording a song every week. I found it interesting that, Johnny, the first time you met your bassist was when you played out with him.
He was working on the songs, but yeah, it was pretty incredible. I gave him a big hug. I talked to him on the phone all the time.
So, how many shows have you guys played together? Just the one?
With the bassist? Daniel.
Yeah.
I think Johnny and I think we're maybe up to like 4 or 5 shows now. But
yeah. What are some of the venues you guys have played at?
Club Cafe, the
Black Forge Coffee
House,
Pints on Pen. And I think that's pretty much it. We played Club Cafe a couple of times. So
yeah, and we have a show in December at Mr. Small's. We're headlining.
Is that on the main stage or in the funhouse?
That's on the main stage.
Yeah. And that's actually the exact middle Friday for Project 52 songs, too. So yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
Do you know who else is playing with you?
We've got a couple different bands in mind. One band, we don't want to list any names right now, just in case they have to like drop out or for some reason. But we have this one band that's very interesting. And Johnny was playing a show last Saturday, and I was running sound at Pints on Pen for part of the Rock All Night tour in Lawrenceville. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I'm on my way to see you. I was like, hurry up and get here. This is the greatest show I've ever seen in my entire
life. So I end up running. I jump out of the car. I just have him drop me off. And I run up to the, you know, just like, what is Pete talking? Like the great, like I've known him for a while. He, you know, he doesn't just give that to anybody. And I run in and there is this giant bird thing dancing on these stilts with like wings. It was like the craziest and I was like, all right, I get where he's coming from. I end up running out, grabbing my friends, bringing him in, and it was definitely I wouldn't say it was the greatest show I've ever seen. I would say it was it was one of the most,
it's very entertaining.
Yeah, as far as just you can't help but watch like what they're doing. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, they're pretty much just like a party band. They brought in like extra lights and lasers and everything. You know, everybody's like moving around.
What genre would you call it? Because I'm now trying to figure out who it is.
I don't even know. It's like it's kind of got this like punk rock feel to
like
it.
But party
it's
like very, music.
Yeah, like, it's just very like grungy, dirty, like fun punk rock.
Yeah, not really in time, but that's not the point.
Yeah, they just have a lot of fun. I mean, they're actually like really good musicians too, but they're more about like putting on like this amazing party show than they are about you know, like being like perfect. And it was very refreshing to see them, and they were very good guys, and we really hope that they're able to do that show with us. I think it'd be a great way to start off the night, and you know, get everybody like partying and moving and you know, loosen up, especially like being like, you know, the music we write is acoustic, so you know, being able to give like different types of you know, textures inside of a show, it would be a lot more fun than going and watching you know, a couple of hours of just acoustic music. I don't think that's everybody's you know, like what everybody wants to hear, but it can get kind of boring. Like I love like metal and hardcore and stuff like that. And, you know, I like Animals as Leaders. I think they're amazing musicians. And I went to one of their shows and every single band was all instrumental. And by the time Animals as Leaders was playing and they were headlining, I was ready to leave. I was like, this is all the same to me. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy going to shows that have, you know, all these different types of music and bands and different instruments. So it should be a good time.
I spent Saturday. I did get your invite, but I was at my uncle's retirement party, and then I left there and I went to Corbry Woodstock, which was it's in Gibsonia, and it's a benefit concert for Allegheny Waterways, and it's kind of a blues rock kind of feel throughout the night. And then I left there and I went to a concert for Anna, which is more of a rock show. And it's also a benefit. Every year they have different benefactors. So my Saturday night was long, but it was fun.
That sounds like a good night.
We weren't planning on going to a concert for Anna, but you know, it's the 10th year they've done it. And every year I'm like, I'm going to go. And then I don't go. So this year I was like, okay, I've had enough of the blues, but I don't want to go home yet. So I caught the last three tracks or last three sets of some heavy rock. Have you guys ever heard of the band Creep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were the headliners. And then After the Fall, where they were on before them. You've probably heard of them too, I would assume. Yep. And then Here and Now was the first band we saw on the night. They're kind of an all-star acoustic cover band. They have members from various bands that have made a pretty sizable name for themselves in the local music scene, including the lead singer from Creep and their guitarist. They're both in that band.
Oh, cool.
It was a fun night, and Creep actually made an announcement that they're going to record a new album. And I think the last time they recorded an album was 2003.
Wow.
And they've, for the last few years, the only show they play is a concert for Anna, because Anna was the lead singer's sister who had passed away. And that's the original concert was supposed to be to raise money to help her fight cancer, and she passed away before the concert happened. And they just have continued it on and used it as a way to support other people, which is awesome.
That is awesome. I agree. I was just talking to Pete about a dream that I had. This is not last night, but the night before, where I met Jack Johnson, who I would say that I idolize, at least to a certain degree. I really like the way he handles his business and the way he stands for sustainability, and he doesn't just preach it. I mean, he lives it. So I was just talking to Pete about trying to get behind his environmental charity or something local here. That'd be a really cool thing to do.
Well, I am. Have you heard of the Rock for Life concert series?
Yeah.
I do their website, and I've been involved with them, well, from the beginning, but I didn't go to my first Rock for Life concert until the third year. But I could put you in touch with those guys if you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I will make sure I do that tonight once we're off the show. So you haven't sent me a song yet. I mean, I've heard a song, but you haven't sent me one to play. So why don't you tell me what I'm going to get to play for the listeners and tell us a little bit about the recording process on it and what it's about.
Which song are we going to send them first? I think if we send them Stuck, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, since this is the most latest release.
Yeah, so Stuck was written immediately after I first saw my girlfriend. So many years ago, 3.5-4 years ago now, and it's kind of stayed with me. It is a little bit more acrobatic vocally than I'm used to. So I recorded vocals once, and then it ended up just being scratch for the bassist, and then I recorded them again after Glee. But I was pretty after it was like a practice, and I was pretty worn. And then we recorded them again tonight, and I think they sound the best tonight, so I'm really excited about it. So you will get to listen to Stuck.
Yeah, this version of Stuck is very different than what people have been hearing if they've been coming out to like our live shows, because it's got like a lot more energy to it when it's like a full band setting. But we really kind of stripped everything back, and I think we're gonna really try to stick to Johnny's roots of being like that, like acoustic pop sound. I played in like heavy bands ever since I started playing. So
Pete pumps me up. He just gets me so excited. I start screaming in the mic. Then my girlfriend's like, "What were you doing?"
But yeah, I've given Johnny like this completely different type of energy, and I started like feeling and hearing that as like we've been recording. And it was nice to kind of like strip back. I was like, I don't think we need to record Stuck the way that we play it live. It's like if we're trying to like keep this like pop, acoustic genre going. I don't think the way that we played Stuck would be the way to do it. But it's definitely a fun song to play live and be able to amp up that energy and have a lot more fun and not hold back give the listeners a different feel and taste of songs. Is really fun too. So
awesome. One last question for you guys before I let you go. So you're gonna have 52 songs available. Where can the listeners get a hold of them?
Spotify, iTunes, johnnywalko.com.
You might want to spell that.
Yeah, that's the key, is figuring that out. You know who the real fans are. So it's Johnny, Johnny, Walko, WALYLKO, .com. That's, it's said a lot easier than it's spelled. It's said Walko, but, spelled WALYLKO. Pretty much any major music platform. If you're old school and you want to download it, you can name your price.
Did you just call downloading old school?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, people are, I feel like people are on stream
songs now.
I owned an 8-track. Only one, but I did.
Well, they can download it on that website, and it's your price. So if they can't afford, I don't want to hold anybody from being able to have the song, so they can get it for free, or if they feel like whatever it's worth to them. So it's on there.
Yeah, the website's set up pretty nice. All the songs are right in a row. You can click on it, read the lyrics and everything, listen to them, and have social media links and everything on there. So,
yep.
Okay. Well, thank you both for taking time out of recording and doing the interview with me.
Sure. Thanks
for having us.
And once again, you've been listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 393. You're going to hear the song Stuck next. And some more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. Check us out each and every week. We have, let's see, who do we have coming up? Next week we have The Crowning. And then I have a slight break. I need to find somebody for the 22nd. But we'll follow that up with Shattered. And they'll be talking about a new release that they have coming out as well. And then on October 13th, we have a band called White Thrash. That may be a little more along your metal lines there, Pete. Shattered too. They're pretty heavy. I don't know that I call them metal, but they're pushing it.
Flirting with the line.
Yeah. So once again, check us out each and every week, PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. My name is Bill, and we'll catch you later.
Look away, just look away. the pounding of a broken chest says, I don't know, oh, I don't know. When the world falls round, a girl I'd found, and I'd fall down laughing. 'Cause Brian cracks a joke, letting me know this girl's not the only thing happening. She's up, she's down, she's upside down. She's spinning inside of my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's up, she's down, she's upside down. She's spinning inside of my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's stuck inside my head. My ears perk to a call. I think it's you, but it's my mom. Disappointment runs through my veins. This jacket smells of cigarettes. It was at the bar before we met. And this alarm clock is shouting your name. And time and time again, I'll try and try to vent you out, but I doubt that'll happen. She's up, she's down, she's upside down. She's spinning inside of my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's up, she's down, she's upside down. She's spinning inside of my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's stuck inside my head. Somehow I caught on fire when she grabbed my wrist and kissed me like a child. But don't stop, no you can't stop, 'cause I'm dying to be. I'm up, I'm down, I'm upside down, 'cause she's spinning inside of my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's stuck inside my head. She's up, she's down, she's upside down, 'cause she's spinning inside of my head. Oh
$100. Some places dance we pull, some places things nothing like a home cooked meal. We always come back to mama's kitchen, swapping lines, laughing, pitching, patching up what goes on in our lives. Plenty of love in mama's kitchen, ice cold beers and deep fried chicken, certain food for body, heart, soul, and mind. In mama's kitchen,
song, and I'll play for a dime. You drink your bourbon, I'll sip that.